Everybody lift up your hands. The presence of God is here. You are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for arguments. You are God all by yourself. One more time.
You got seasons and seasons in your hand.
Call for light out of darkness.
You don't need a man.
You don't need a man to be the God you are.
But you have chosen to call me your own.
You are God from beginning.
There's no place for argument.
You are God all by yourself. You are God from beginning to the end.
There's no place for argument.
You are God. Father, we honor you. Thank you for what you have done here this morning, Lord. Thank you for the journey messages you gave us to be in Enugu at this season. Thank you for what you did last night in the meeting that we had in this town. Thank you for what you are doing all over this nation and all over the world. Thank you for the gift of media through which we can be in different nations all at the same time. Thank you for this Kairos moment. Have your way, Lord. Let your kingdom come, your will, your purposes, the intentions of your heart. Let it be established. Let it be executed to precision. The very thoughts of your heart. Grant us clarity and understanding, everyone. There will be no one missing out in what you're doing in this hour and in this season. Cause us to rise up in one accord like a mighty army to go in and possess the harvest of the nations. Everybody lift up your hands. Just talk to him. You heard the message. That is a Kairos word. You miss times and seasons, you miss your destiny. Open our eyes to understand the time we are living in. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. And help us to understand what Israel ought to do. Help us to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Greet somebody around you as you sit. Oh, Reverend, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being here. I just called him yesterday. I said, you know, I think it was even in the afternoon or something, yesterday afternoon, and to use the first flight to start coming. He just landed and came in directly. Hasn't even rested. Thank you, sir. All the things you are targeting, all the things you are working on, not only for this remaining part of the year, even the coming year, God is going to give you speed. God is going to give you double for every effort you make. I see some of my friends from Abuja. Thank you for being here. Somebody looks like Pastor Shalom. I'm not sure if she's the one. She's the one. Wow. Please give all of them a big God bless you. Wow. And of course, Pastor Nob, good morning. Thank you for, you know. He has traveled with me everywhere. And next week, he's following me again to Port Harcourt, you know. Okay, I want you to see a small video clip, and then we're going to discuss. Because our discussion now is about times and season. And, you know, that's what we're discussing. And we'll just discuss it for a little more, and then, we'll be able to go. Tomorrow, there will be riots in this place. Holy Ghost riot. Tomorrow morning. Please, can you play that video? Is it possible to remove this bright light so that everybody can see? Okay, I suppose that you can see. Okay, let's go ahead. I need volume. No, I need the volume. I'm not hearing anything. You don't do video without audio. That's nonsense. Go back. I need the volume. And if I give you 1 more minute, you don't get your ass in order, we move on without you. Anytime God wants to do something and the people that are in charge miss it, once he moves on, those people suffer loss. They lose something. Yes, that's the truth. There is a way God works. He works with men. So when yesterday night I was telling them how God appeared to Cornelius and sent an angel to prepare him and his family to receive salvation. But when God finishes, he passes the ball to men because he works with us. And the ball was passed to Peter. He asked him to send men to Peter. If Peter got there and messed up that thing, because God does 70 to 75%. He asks us to just do the small part. If he messed it up, he will have moved his life backward. Okay. Yes, what? This is rapture.
In different parts of the world. In different iglesias. In different parts. Como Shelly Bell. En el avión, en la calle, en el trabajo, así será, así será. En un abrir y cerrar de ojos, ante la cara de todos, la iglesia se quedará vacía, se quedarán los hipócritas, se quedarán los mentirosos, se quedarán los chismosos, se quedarán los falsos, gritarán, llorarán. ¿Cuántas veces se le habló? ¿Cuántas veces se le predicó, se le decía, Cristo viene, Cristo viene, Cristo viene? Iban a la iglesia con la Biblia, pero eran mentirosos. Iban a la iglesia, pero eran falsos. No le daba la gana de arrepentirse. ¿Cuántas veces le hablaron? ¿Cuántas veces? Y ahora gritan, ahora lloran. Dice, el pastor estaba predicando. ¿Qué pasó? Desapareció el pastor. Desaparecieron los hermanos. ¿Dónde está? Oye, tantas veces se habló que Cristo venía. Decían que venía. Y ahora ya vino, se ha cumplido. Y aunque corran, aunque lloren, se tirarán al altar, dirán, Señor, ¿por qué? ¿Por qué me he quedado? ¿Por qué? Desaparecerán los niños del brazo de la madre. Yo no tenía mi bebito acá. Cristo vino. Solamente una voz. Cristo vino. Una voz que le va a decir, Cristo vino. Vino Cristo. ¿Cuántas veces te hablaron? ¿De cuántas maneras te hablaron? Ahora van a decir, pero no puede ser, sucedió. El pastor estaba predicando, el pastor estaba hablando, estaba en el culto, no puede ser. Se cumplió lo que tanto tiempo se venía diciendo. Estarán en la cama. Una pareja de esposos, desaparecerá la esposa. Vendrán lágrimas, llanto. Pero se le avisó. Se le dijo por borracho, por adúltero, que vas a quedar. En el avión desaparecen los pilotos. Hermano, el avión se queda sin gente. Explota. Muchos accidentes van a haber. El día del rapto de la iglesia. En el mundo entero. Alborote en las calles. Se quedan sin pilotos los carros. Hermano, accidentes por todas partes. Esto va a ser mundial. Y entonces la gente va a pedir una explicación. Va a haber un alboroto a las autoridades. Va a decir, ¿qué ha sucedido? Hermano, el mundo se quedó sin los cristianos. Desapareció el pueblo de Dios. Desaparecieron los aleluyas. Desaparecieron aquellos que andan diciendo, arrepiéntete, Cristo viene, Cristo viene. Solamente se quedaron los falsos. Se quedaron los falsos, los mentirosos. Así será. Será como un relámpago. Será como un rayo. No habrá tiempo para decir, ahora sí. Ahora sí me entrego. Ahora sí me arrepiento.
Ok. Anybody that have any spiritual sense at all, please put, before you turn on the light, put the camera on us. I want to be sure if it's clear, then I'll leave this light turned off for now. I want to see what we look like on that picture. I want to see how clear. That's, you're not getting the picture. It's not good. Okay, you can get the light back. Now, anybody that has sense, any form of spiritual sense or sensitivity, we know that we are heading now towards the second return of Christ. The worst thing that can happen to anybody that has followed Jesus is for the rapture to occur and you are left behind. Whatever it is that can make that happen, get rid of it in your life. Get rid of it. I'm going to encourage as many of you as possible as can to be in the prophetic summit this year, because there are some very specific directions God will be releasing in that meeting. For the next 10 years and the years that are ahead. And if for any reason you are not able to be there, make sure you tune in and you are watching all the sessions. Don't let the activities of Christmas deceive you. From everything that is going on at the global scene, it's very, very clear now that the globalists are going to be coming into power based on how things are now in US by January, except something else happens. And already they have formed the cabinets. The man who is going to be in charge of climate change, John Kerry, made an announcement this week. On Tuesday this week, he said that they are going to, the moment they are inaugurated, they are going to move with speed and precision to begin to implement the global reset. starting with implementation of these AD 2020 microchips. Because America has been the only country on earth that has been standing in the way. And I don't know if you have been following what is going on. This thing that they have manufactured, they want to put in the hand of 7-point-something billion people. The name is Lucifer Race. The last time the devil pulled this kind of stunt, it was in the time of Noah, and it led to the destruction of the world. That was one of the reasons God destroyed our world with flood. But that time, he didn't use technology to do it. They used sex. They're trying to mix the gene of fallen angels and the DNA of human beings, so that those who get that thing are no more normal human beings. And nobody can redeem them. The blood can't save them. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. I think maybe before I read that, okay, let me go ahead and read it. Yes, Pastor Nobu, you can read.
Revelation chapter 14.
From verse 9 to 11.
From verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand."
And I don't know, for some mysterious reasons, the only two places they have done the research, I've read all the documents, the only two places they have found suitable for this chip is either in your hand or here. If anyone receive, worship the beast or worship his image or receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, what will happen?
The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
Go ahead, verse 11.
And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name.
You see, it's not something you do and repent after. You do this, you are doomed forever. It's not something you do, the punishment will be for 1 year, then they can stop. Or they punish you for 10 years and stop. The punishment will be forever. It's something that if you do, you are damned forever. There is no more chance of redemption for you. I think I want it repeated, but this time, Reverend, read it, verse 9, 10, and 11. So it's not a joke. Yes.
Revelation chapter 14,
verse 9, yeah.
14 verses 9 to 10. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
Let me say this. We've been praying about some of these things. One of the great things that God did for us this year is that about 4 weeks ago, I think it's about 4 weeks ago, if I'm correct, 4 or 5 weeks ago, Barrister Wampa was appointed by the federal government, and he went through the Senate screening, and he has passed, and he has been inaugurated as the chairman of the Nigeria's Consumers Council. So now, everything that people eat, everything that will be injected into people that will come into this country, he has to approve, his office must approve it before he will go to anybody. It was a miracle. I don't have the time to tell the story. And when he went there and the Senate was screening him, the argument he put out that made him win over the others is the issue of the vaccines that will be coming in and this issue of reduction of population. So he told them, if all of you will be safe, we have to have a man here that cannot be bribed. We have to have a man here that has a track record of integrity so that we can be sure that what is going to come in will be what will be good for our people. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But because there are other two agencies he works with, that if they work together and they cooperate with each other, Nigeria will have total safety. But if the wrong person is heading any of these other two agencies, you can't tell. For example, NAFDAC. So the reason I said that is that our people that are in U.S. in different parts of the world are already asking me, what are we going to do? They said they are rolling out this thing by January. I said, don't worry. As long as you stay connected, we are going to inform you which ones are the good vaccines, because there will be good vaccines, and then there will be Lucifer's DNA they will be injecting into people. And these ones they want to push that one to 7 billion people on the earth. But the good thing is that there are also good vaccines. If not at our air now, I will name for you the two major companies that will be pushing these dangerous vaccines. So you need to be aware of that. And we're going to make all this information available. And there will be more companies. And then, of course, there are other companies that will be pushing the good ones. That's why one of the keys to the future is what Reverend Dubois is talking about now, alternative systems. Christians must rise up and not just sit down in different fields and create alternative systems. Days are coming, children will go to public school, they will be teaching them all sorts of nonsense. Initiations will be going on in schools. What I'm telling you is not future. It's already happening abroad. Already, some of our brethren have said, when they get to that point, they're going to pull out their children from school. But when you pull out your children from school, won't they be going to school? So that's why Christians, churches, needs to start building schools. Alternative systems. And a lot of parents will have to learn how to give their children homegrown education. They get all the training at home, write JAMB, pass it, write GCE, pass it, without having to. Because what is dangerous is when they don't know their left from their right. If you're able to protect them till they become adults and they have been formed and the values of the kingdom has been instilled into them, then you don't have to be afraid. Little children are going to be subjected to all sorts. I have a video now, but I don't have the time. If I play it for you now, you see where they've carried this into schools, primary schools, nursery schools, and you see small, small kids. And they give them mic and say, announce, this is a boy that you are now a girl. And the one will announce, everybody will clap for him. And they make it, no parent, no father, no mother can stop that child. He has right to choose whichever one he wants to be. But they won't leave them alone to be innocent. They will go and teach them all the bad things, give them videos, show them videos of all their... And now, the children, not knowing their left from right, will now go on and start choosing what they don't know. And it was surprising to me, in some of that video, you see some where the parents bring their children. They undergo gender change, and they are clapping for them. The last time the devil did this, it was in Genesis chapter 6. What he did was to send angels here to start marrying the daughters of men. They were taking wives. And so, when they finish having sex with these women, the women conceive and they give birth to babies. But these babies are not normal human beings anymore. Their DNA, their gene, has the gene of fallen angels and the gene of human beings mix. And then these human beings will go and take wives and give birth to. So after a while, this thing has multiplied all over the world. And the Bible said the wickedness of man was out of hand. God now made up his mind to destroy the earth. Because now this thing is in our DNA. So this time around, they have used science to discover how to do it without having to have sex with anybody. We started by creating genetically modified fruits and plants. Genetically modified this and that. And then they moved to animals. Then they move to human beings. And where they're going to now is how to now do it on a mass scale. And these guys are bold enough to register this thing and patent it and call it Lucifer's race. The way you have human race, we're going to have a race of Luciferians all over the earth. You see why God warned that nobody should take that mark. And God warned that those who take it cannot be redeemed. Because he's dissenting and saying you can go and redeem fallen angels or redeem the devil. And wickedness will show multiply on earth in those days. Of course, he has started. Now, every time we raise this, there is a group of people who will say, but I thought Jesus will rapture us before they can do this. Now, if you believe in the rapture, which is the way we are all raised, rapture will come first before they can do all this. I won't go ahead and tell you completely that you are wrong, but it's not, it's just half truth. The more correct position according to the Bible is that a lot of these end time activities will have started somewhere in the middle. The church will be removed from here. It's not like the church will be left here to suffer everything that will happen in the last days. But we are not also promised escape before they start. People that are preaching that, they can't find the Bible to authenticate it. A lot of these end time activities will be here and they will be going on. There is a period, a gesto, before it gets fully dark, God removes his church from here. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Understanding the times and the seasons. Pastor Nob, you can read at least verse 1 and 2.
Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch.
So heat is going to step up. Last days is a time of heat. You know what it means to be inside a house when a house is on fire, or to be in a bush and there is bush fire. The last days is a time of great heat. That's a prophetic way of describing the time of trouble. Paul used a different word. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. But you see, prophecy has two sides. There is one side talking about the bad things that are going to happen. There is another side talking about the glory of God and the move of God that he has planned for the people of God. So the important thing about teaching prophecy is to be able to show the two sides. If we are not careful, we look at only the gloom and the doom and all of that and forget that God also has a plan for his people. It's also wrong for us to stay only on the good things and not warn people of the things that are coming. Prophecy must be presented from a balanced perspective. If anybody's promising you things are going to get better, tell that guy you're a liar. He has not read his Bible. It's going to get worse. Of course, we just had pandemic this year, and coronavirus and all of that lockdown. This is just rehearsal for the main event. And so those who are Christians should be prepared. Perilous times shall come. That's what the Bible said. Dangerous times. Tough times. But Pastor Nov, you need to read verse 2 so that they will see the other side, the good side. And this side belongs to God's people. It's only those that are in Christ, those that have a relationship with the Lord and are walking with him, that this other side belongs to. Okay, go ahead. And all this will be happening at the same time. Yes?
Verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall.
Go ahead. Verse 3.
And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
So you see, on the part of God's people, there is a special glory that will rise upon them. Okay, let's look at this again one more time before I leave it. Isaiah chapter 60. You will see two different things prophesied, and they're going to be happening all at the same time. Yes?
Isaiah 60 from verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
This is for God's people. Yes?
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
You see, why one side is experiencing the glory of God and the move of God, another side is experiencing darkness, and it's all happening at the same time. Let me give you an example in the Bible. The way the children of Israel exited Egypt is the way this world will be when the church will leave this earth. If you want to look at, understand life on earth just before the rapture, go and study what happened to Egypt, which was a type of this world before the children of Israel were taken out of it. If you want to understand life on earth just before the rapture, go and study life in the time of Noah, in the time of Enoch, before Enoch was raptured. That was the time the fallen angels came here and they were sleeping with daughters of men and they were giving birth to giants. And the Bible said God saw that the wickedness of man has gotten out of hand. It was a perilous time. But after Enoch, go and study what Enoch was doing. Enoch led the greatest move of God of that time during this period of darkness. That Enoch led a terrific move of God, and it was after that he was raptured. Right now, we are living again in the days of Elijah, in the time of Enoch, in the time of Noah. If you want to understand how life will look like on earth before the church is raptured, go and study how things were in the Sodom and Gomorrah before Lot was removed. So why wickedness and all kinds of atrocities covered the world in the time of Noah? The people like Noah, the people like Enoch, the people like Methuselah were in the middle of a revival. The lifestyle of Enoch is what the end time church needs to adopt. Not only the lifestyle of righteousness, but learning how to really practice seclusion. How to tarry in the presence of God. How to be men and women of prayer. How to be men of the word. How to be people that carry the glory of God in our lives. And if you've read, there's a book I released. I think it's Enoch Revolution. Yeah, you need to get a copy of it and read. You will see that the nations of the earth at that time were coming to Enoch to listen to him. Because the hand of God was on his life. But of course, there were people out there still doing their wickedness who did not know what was going on until it was too late. If you check how things happened in the land of Egypt, there were 10 plagues that came upon the land of Egypt. But when these things were happening, the people of God were safe in the land of Goshen. They were all in the same Egypt, just like all of us will be in this world. But there will be two different programs. Reverend, I'm sure you saw that one of the things that God said that will happen during that time of heat, a time is coming. Malachi 4 said that will burn like oven. It will burn like heat, like fire. And it will consume all the wicked and all the proud people on the earth. These days had no respect of people, no matter how big they are. They are politicians, they are in government. It has no respect of them. You can see how our politicians are warming up for 2023. Many of them won't even be alive some of the people that are warming up won't enter January next year. Some of them will not be alive by 2023. But they're already programming. The days that are coming will humble the mighty, will humble the proud. You see how this year, 2020, was a leveler. It didn't care. It leveled institutions. It leveled governments. It leveled the nations. It leveled the mighty. This is just a precursor, a rehearsal for what is coming in the last days. 2020 is a year of preparation for us to get ready, for God to get our attention. the last day's move of God, actually, you see, this year we are entering into is a year of move of the Spirit, a year of visitation like we have not seen before. You heard about revival of the 70s. The war ended 1970, and then the revival of the 70s hit. This is the next thing that is going to be following the pandemic. While in many parts of the world, the enemy will move ahead and they will start implementing this microchip implants. They will start it. They have even started in some quarters, but next year is going to be rolled out in mass. What will help many countries in Africa is the quality of leadership they elect. The Lord asked me to announce coming this 2023, He's going to raise a Davidic leadership for Nigeria. Yes, it's going to be a righteous leadership. It's going to be a righteous leadership. Go and write that one down. Write it down. You will know. It's going to be a righteous leadership. And he also gave me a sign. He said there is a way Nigerians will know that man. Because it's a man that will combine great humility with great sense of, you know, he's going to be able to combine humility with power. It will have the ability to combine humility on one side and courage and boldness on the other side. He will be able to combine great compassion with great sense of justice. He's a man that has been processed. He has paid his dues. He has paid, gone through some training, gone through some wilderness. He's a humble man. So in his days, the poor will rejoice. Between now and that 2023, Nigeria still have 2 years of economic recession. Things are good. Anybody telling you things are going to get better in 2021, it's going to get worse. But you see now, that is the prophecy for the people there. For us, God's children, God has a completely different plan. I'm doing my best to help the men and women of God in the prophetic to understand that the way a prophet speaks to the righteous is different from how he speaks to the wicked. If you prophesy to the righteous what will come on the wicked, then you need to go back to the school of prophecy. Because you are violating the law of sowing and reaping. You are telling the wicked they will reap what the righteous that they will reap. What the wicked is going to reap. Just because God is coming to judge the earth, at the center is coming to judge the earth, is coming to save his people. So that's why he had to remove Enoch. That's the symbol of the rapture. That's why he had to take Noah and put him in the ark. That's the symbol of deliverance for God's people. Because what comes upon the wicked is not the lot of the righteous. So, for example, now, there will be 2 more years of economic hardship in Nigeria. 2021 is going to be tough. And then 2022, before the rain will start falling again. It's 7 years famine. But in these 2 years of hardship, that's when God is going to be raising Josephs and Daniels and men that will rule the economy of the nation and the economy of nations. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Those of you who are young people, better listen to me. And those of you who are businessmen, better listen to me. And those of you who are career professionals, better listen to me. Joseph did not emerge when things became fine. It was this time of hardship that threw him up. It is the things you build now that you are going to ride on in the days that are coming. This time of hardship is an opportunity created for God's people to come up with a business, to come up with a ministry, to come up with a cutting-edge solution to world events, to problems of society. And that will put you in a position to reap millions in the middle of droughts. In this time of genetically modified food and is causing cancer and death and a lot of health problems, this is the time for some of you to get involved in agri or food business and make sure that what you are serving the public is secure, good, organic food, and you market based on that. I don't know if you know that in these last days, agriculture is going to be the new oil. Food is going to be one of the most important things anybody can deal with, anybody can sell. And I'm going to tell you this, with all the things that the prophecy has said will come ahead, they shall not be able to buy or sell unless they take the mark of the beast. The basic necessities of life, like food, like water, like shelter, are going to be very, very critical. Like education, like church. You saw how people were famishing this year when they couldn't attend church. Because Amos was the one that prophesied that. He said, days are coming, there will be a famine, not of food or of anything, but a famine of the word of God, hearing the word of God. People will be famished because they're looking for people to bring it. Of course, and of course, if you also know on the other side, the negative side, there will be a lot of false prophets and false ministries all happening at the same time. So I have warned everybody to get himself ready. Get through DLI. Get all the books we are making available. Because days are coming, cell system, house churches will be the secret of the church. And it's now that you have to prepare yourself for it. You have to make sure that your house is a church. And that you are holding services at least once a week with all your family members, all your father, mother, children, and all of that. That every day you will get up and pray and study the word of God, and that your children are properly discipled. You know, the Bible says, let him that has ear hear what the Spirit is saying. Hello? Are you still here? When it comes to wealth creation, entrepreneurship is the key to the future, not employment. So even if you have a job, use some of the money you're earning to start your own business. Employ people to be working for you. Use your weekend to supervise them. Days are coming when insecurity hits your job, you go back to your own business. Because if you're using your skills to create money for somebody else, you can use the same skills to make money for yourself. So, if you notice this Amos, I'm talking about where we read. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 4, where he said, the days are coming that will burn like heat. But he said, for those that fear God, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing on his wings. There will be the outpouring of the Spirit in such a way that it will be healing and miracles will be everywhere. Anybody who is a Christian that neglects the supernatural in these last days is committing suicide. Part of what will give God's people the advantage, the competitive edge, is the supernatural advantage. Okay, that brings me to something that I want us to discuss now. Pastor Noam, why is it that God, even though he's the Almighty God, is permitting this type of shakings in the last days? Nations are going to be shaking, the economy will be shaking, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Even the weather, the natural order will be shaken. There will be earthquakes, tsunamis, all kinds of things, volcanoes everywhere. There will be pestilences. Why is he allowing this heat? He's allowing it for one reason only: to cause millions and millions of people to turn and start seeking God. There are people who are not listening with all this gospel that is being preached. So what God is doing, as the end time shakings happen, look at what happened this year. Who can believe that the whole world could be locked down? Businesses shut down, airlines shut down, government shut down, courts shut down. Who could believe that it could happen? But it happened. And then at that moment, people started looking for God. What God is using this to do is to cause a massive movement of souls, people to begin to seek him, and so that the church, in partnership with God, can begin to gather the harvest. In other words, it's a season of harvest. It's a season of harvest. If you have been planning to be useful for God, to be used by God, if you miss this last day's move, there won't be another time. You see, when the Antichrist is here, they have banned preaching, banned crusade. That's when you want to start your own. You see, when they have banned TV ministry, banned everything, is that when you want to start? You want to plant church, this is the time. You want to start a cell, this is the time. You want to reach your village, this is the time. You want to do crusade, this is the time. You want to reach out to your campuses, this is the time. You want to reach out to secondary schools, this is the time. It is harvest time. Put up Revelation 7 verse 9. After this, I behold, lo, a great multitude which no one could number. This multitude numbers in billions. of all nations, of kindreds, of people, of tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. These are the people that made it in the rapture. And God is showing John, it's called the end vision, the final vision, how the whole thing will end. That billions are going to make it in the rapture, even though billions will also go to hell. They are now in white robe, no jeans, no buba, no adire, no all these different things. Everybody's dressed up in white robe, and everybody is now before the throne of God. Verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who seated upon the throne and to the Lamb. Verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne. Why did all the angels appear in heaven? Because the harvest had been finished. There's no need to. All the angels that are on earth now, everybody had to report home. Because the saints too have been brought back home. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. You know how life will be when angels are no more on earth? It's only demons. And everybody fell before the throne and worshiped God. Verse 12, saying amen, blessings and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Can I hear you say amen? Yeah. Verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? Who are these people in white? And there are multitudes that cannot be numbered. And then where did they come from? Verse 14. And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, Reverend, the great tribulation is this end time hardship. What the enemy would do, even the Antichrist and the rest of them. But instead of it leading to everybody being destroyed, it led billions of people to find God. Wow. The hardship was designed to push multitudes towards God. So you and I now, who are God's children, are the ones that are positioned on earth to be the reapers, the ones that will reap the harvest. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. We're in the harvest season. Of course, God said to me, among the things he asked me to announce, because he showed me commotion happening in heaven, all the angels commissioned to come down to earth to help to gather the harvest of the earth. And they were also commissioned to release everything in the storehouse of heaven, special anointings, miracle working power, financial resources, revelation and wisdom that the church, the last day's church, need to finish the task. And, you know, I had prepared for Christmas. Apostle Dobe has invited me to come over. I also had the plan to go to Dubai, be with the Dominion City in Dubai, and then relax. I said immediately after Maranatha, I'm out, because we've been working since January. There was no lockdown in my life this year. So we were, you know, National Youth Summit could not hold because of the riot, the protest. So we went to Accra. And all I was saying, you know, asking God, just help us finish Maranatha, give us perfect victory there. I'm through with the year. The next time they're going to see me is prophetic summit. One of those days, we finished praying this kind of prayer, and I went to sleep. And the Lord took me to show me what is going on. I was shocked. I repented. I told him, I'm so sorry, because I didn't know. He said, you are planning for next year. He said, what you are planning has started. That's why next year, we're going to be having 1 million man crusade in Lagos, Night of Glory, Lagos. And we're just talking about people present, though, because we're going to connect that whole city. If you're in taxi, if you're at home, if you're at work, all the radio stations will be busy. all the TV stations will be busy, all the satellite, all the social media platforms beaming that meeting to every home. So it's only God and the angels that will be able to tell how many million people. And then when you also think about the fact that we're going to be beaming it around the world all at the same time. Once it's January, for January, we're only allowing the January 1st for a second fasting start. Make sure you join us. At least do at least 30 days. It's harvest time. I say it's harvest time. I don't think you're hearing me. Help me tell your friend. Tell him, wake up, it's harvest time. Pastor, don't find this for me. A son that sleeps during harvest is the son that makes ashamed. Proverbs. You don't sleep during harvest. You don't bring disgrace to your father. Proverbs 10 verse 5. You can read it.
Proverbs 10 verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame.
Everybody lift up your hands and say, Lord, help me. I will not be a son that brings shame to you. I will not sleep in this season of harvest. I will be a partner with you to gather the harvest of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something hunters do during bushfire. When there is a bushfire, all you have to do is get a lot of people, get your dogs as hunters, get your weapons, and surround the edges of the fire, the bush. Because once the fire is on, the bush is on fire, what will happen is all the animals you have been hunting will start running out. The rodents, the rabbits, the bush meat, they will start running out. So what you do is that it's time to catch them cheap. So you just set traps for them on the roads all around. So you make sure you have enough hands to surround the whole bush. Whichever angle they run out for, they can't run back because of the fire. They will be running out. So all you need is the harvesters to catch them. That's why God is shaking the earth. The reason he's shaking is so that men can run towards salvation, and then he needs the church to be ready to harvest. Can I hear an amen? Between now and the end of the harvest season, take church planting to 1,000 churches in Enugu, every nook and corner of this city. Put Dominion City there. Every home, put a cell there. Every house, put a cell there. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone lift off your hand. Make a dedication that your house must be a house church. Your house must be a cell, reaching the people in your street. Every campus, plant 12 campus fellowships. Not just one. Plant Club 1000, plant Goldie Heart Foundation, plant NCF, plant YCC, Youth and Campus for Christ. Plant 12 fellowships in one campus. When they finish, let them plant more. Have fellowships in the market, in motor parks, in every street. Be ready to gather the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Everyone that is involved in reaping the harvest, God is going to pay them heavily. The best place to be is in the center of God's will. All the autonomous communities in Enugu State, plant churches in all of them. And don't wait for him to send you. Go and be the one to plant church in your own village. Don't wait for somebody to tell you. Go and plant Dominion City there. go there and tell me you are looking for vision. Start with your family house and grow from there and get a land. In my village, I went there, bought land. It's a family land, though. It's my mom's family that owns the land, but I paid them $5 million to give us the land. And I brought money and built a church for Dominion City. Since I did it, other people have said that one family, the man is living in a chair. He donated a whole duplex with the compound, signed the document, gave us, said start church there. So now what we're trying to do is to put 12 churches in one village. 12. We're going to have 12 Dominion City in that village. And another family has also donated their land. He said, come and start church there. Even in my own family, my own house, somebody, a member of the family, my own family, the Wally, a member of the family, has just donated their land. We're going to start church there. What are you waiting for? Is it after the rapture? Then that's where you're going to do the work of God. Or is it when the Antichrist is here? That's where you are going to start giving. I will do 7 days fast. This January, I'm going to try 21 days. This January, I will do it morning till 6 every day. This is it. Is it after the rapture? Is that when you are going to pay the price? I'm going to buy land and build church. This is the time now. All those things you've been thinking you're going to do for God, if this is the time to do it. Is it in the grave you're going to do it, or in heaven that you're going to do it? I'm going to take my friends who go back to my campus and go and reach it. This is the time. And then the Lord said, I should tell the church. He said the church is going to have one problem in the midst of the harvest. There will be one big problem. He said, as per the harvest, it won't be hard, because the angels are going to be walking behind this thing, set pushing things so that the souls are going to be running out, needing help. But he said, like when the angel appeared to Cornelius, and then the angels will need to work with human beings. So the angels passed the ball to Peter. He told Cornelius, send men to Peter. He said, there will be many cases. People will come to you telling you about problems in their life. It's for you to lead them to Christ. People will come to you telling you about the dream they had, how God appeared to them, or this one that is happening. It's for you to lead them to Christ. Don't just go solving physical problems and ignore their soul. Don't mess up that opportunity. When the angels have done 70% of the work and your job is just to do about 25, don't mess it up. Lead that man to Christ. And after that, pray for him. The miracle will follow it. So he said the angels would do over time. But the church will have one problem. And that problem will be the preservation of the harvest. Pastor Jedim, I hope you are listening. Pastor Casey, I hope you are listening. There will be so much harvest once you cooperate with God. You won't have enough building to be able to keep souls that are coming. But there will be another problem now. The preservation of the harvest. And the preservation of the harvest is what is called discipleship. Because all the mangoes that fall get ripe every year in this your city of Enugu and in Nigeria, over 70% of them spoil because there is no way to preserve them. So what you're going to have is where we are going to catch multitude of fishes, but those who have not preserved their own harvest, next thing you see flies all over the church, everywhere smelling because they were not preserved. The 419 they used to do in the world, they will bring it inside the church. The prostitution they used to do in the world, they will bring it inside the church and start prostituting the church. The evil and wickedness they were doing there, they will bring it inside the church. And so everyone will be messed up because people are not being discipled. So every home has to be a discipleship center. The key to discipleship is house churches, cell meetings. It's not big congregation like this. Whatever the pastor teaches, you go home that week, you bring it, you bring other scriptures, and you will sit down and break it down and dissect it, and everybody will get it. Every church, every family, every like must invest in house fellowships, in cell meetings. To be able to handle what is coming, it's not just DLI, Foundation School. Let that one be running, but there has to be multiplication of these systems. Start DLI in your school. Run Foundation School in your campus. Run it in the secondary school. Run it everywhere in your company. Attend and get to know it first. Take it to where you work. Even us, we have to make it online and make it available. Luke chapter 5. Pastor Nov, you can read. There is a mighty harvest that was given to Peter and his friends in Luke chapter 5. Read it. Let's see.
Luke chapter 5. From verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships.
So we're going to discuss finance. I will make some comment on soul winning and then we'll shift the discussion because that's the next harvest that's coming. We're going to have harvest of souls, harvest of communities, cities, and nations, and we're going to have harvest of souls. I mean, harvest of finances. So, go ahead.
Verse 2. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
So we're going to look at the three to four major keys to the miraculous. This is where we're going to end. Whether it's abundance, whether it is healing, any miracle at all, the keys to the miraculous. Go ahead.
The next verse. Now, go back, please. Go back. Okay. I will look at verse 6, please. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord."
Verse 10.
And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men."
Verse 11.
And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
Okay. So you see two type of harvests happening. Peter allowed Jesus to use his boat to win multitude of souls, reach multitude of people. And after God used him to reach those people, he now turned and gave Peter a miracle in his business, a miracle of finance, because his business was fish. He was a fisherman. And according to Peter, they had toiled all night, working hard, and had nothing to show for it. So this is where, and let me also say one more thing before I leave. We switch to this financial part. Pastor Nob, if you notice, when the boat got filled and began to sink, they called for their partners, their friends, and they brought their boat, and the boats were filled up, and they started sinking. This is what I've been noticing. I'll tell you a secret. I have noticed, and this always works with every apostolic ministry. I have noticed all of the ministries that are hooked up to us, they are all having overflowing harvest. You saw where we went to yesterday. Multitudes, the whole church was filled in and out. The whole compound was filled. The whole road, almost to the express. Human beings. It looks like, Father Mbaka Crusade. Everywhere I travel, I've been noticing that. You see the ones that are not hooked up. I don't know. There's a friend of mine I took with me to that trip. That's what I wanted him to see this. Because what partnership does is that together everybody accomplishes more. This is part of how we are going to solve the problem of being effective in harvesting and as well as preserving the harvest. What we have used that has produced the result is synergy. Team ministry. You can see that's what we're doing here again. And so team ministry brings corporate anointing, corporate wisdom, corporate revelation, and corporate success. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. So what happened that when Peter called their neighbors to come and help them, James and John brought their ship, both ship got filled up, and both of them were sinking. What would have happened is that excess fish would have been lost. They would have fallen back into the water. That's what happens. It happens in business, it happens in ministry, it happens in everything. Partnership creates a dimension of harvest, and that level of harvest ends up prospering both all the ministries hooked up in it and all the people hooked up in that partnership. They outperform what they could have achieved by their individual efforts. And sometimes the power of partnership is not felt so much in Southeast because the Igbos are independent people. They like to do their lone ranger thing in ministry, in business. Somebody here has an idea. You have a big, powerful business idea. The other brother has the money. And all you need to do, let him bring the money. You bring that idea and you will share 50-50. But because you want to own it all, you won't bring him. You want it to be independent. You want to be the alpha and omega of you. You won't bring him. So you struggle years, 5 years is wasted. You are not able to get that vision to take off. Somebody said, it is better to have the leg of an elephant than to have the whole of an ant. I hope you know that the toe of an elephant is bigger than 1,000 ants. How much more the leg of an elephant? The leg of an elephant is like a small cow. So, what's the use having the whole thing, 100% of an ant, when you can have a leg of an elephant and other partners can get one leg, and now because you have been able to create something big? The Igbos are not good in synergy. They are not good in partnership. They are not good in covenant. That's where the weakness is. But they are strong. But individualism is their weakness. Do you know, even if you don't get anything when you get involved in partnership, just get involved and be able to see how partnership creates a momentous harvest. See that vision. Your faith enlarges. Your anointing enlarges. Your wisdom enlarges. When you take that thing back to what you're doing, you explode. There is no way partnership will not change your life. Bible says one shall chase 1,000, two, 10,000. So get ready, my friends. That farm you are trying to start, maybe you have the money for the farm, the other brother has the land. Come together instead of creating two farms and pioneer a very powerful farm that will be the one supplying food all over this city. When he's very successful and he's well established, if you decide to create two new farms, it's good. And even when you create it, there might be where this one has a cutting edge and you have a cutting edge. Keep cooperating. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's why as Dominion City, we need to come together and create certain things that will be a fallback for many believers in these last days. Very standard schools, very standard alternative systems in different places. Okay, now Pastor Nob and Reverend Dubus, I'm going to, ask you, what are some of the principles for the miraculous that we can see from this Luke chapter 5? Let's see if brethren can get some things. There are principles. Okay, start first, because in Lagos you shared with us, whenever miracles can happen all the time, once the law of faith is put to work. But then there are seasons when God moves like never before. And usually at such seasons, God sends his angels. And they will come and trouble the water. The next thing is that whenever angels are walking in the realm of the spirit, God sends the prophet. He sends a man of God. He sends the prophet your way at that time. If you notice, the prophet that showed up in the life of Peter, he was broke. Nothing is working in his business. The man that showed up was Jesus. Peter could have missed that moment if he did not recognize. So let's start from there. Go ahead, talk to us. What are the keys to the miraculous?
Thank you, sir. From the scripture we read in Luke chapter 5, you see, Jesus